member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the lucky 13th of September, Anno Domini 2014. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Oh, and those of you listening in, say, Pottstown, PA, or Cheek. Tawaga, New York. The 800 line is down at the moment, so if you're going to call in, you're going to have to actually call in on the 585 number. I apologize. We all apologize. Stuff happens. Shockingly, we do not control the universe outside this studio.
The phone system? No, really?
When Dave is on the board, we barely control the universe inside this.
There you go. I have full control.
That's exactly right. So,
even though I'm out of control.
I'm pretty sure something happened this week.
You think?
Some sort of...
Last week it was the announcement of the announcement.
Right. So this week it must have been the announcement.
No, it was Nick's birthday.
It was my birthday.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. We're all birthday
this month,
boys this month. Mm-hmm. So happy birthday to all of us. You're the 18th?
19th.
19th, and you're the...
20th.
20th. Oh, 19 and 20.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I thought you were the 26th. Okay.
Yep.
And I'm the 10th. So there we have it. And now on to Apple's newest birthday surprise. Apple's most recent event jammed a ton. You know what? We're all, not only are we all September babies, but so is Soundbites.
Yeah.
There you go. Apple's most recent event jammed a ton of information on new products into a rapid 2 hours. The company's first major unveiling was two new iPhones, the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus. Both phones are available for pre-order as of yesterday and will be available on September 19th. They were available for pre-order. We'll get to that. The iPhone 6 has a 4.7-inch screen, while the iPhone 6 Plus has a 5.5-inch screen. Both screens are a new level of quality, Retina HD, whatever that means. Both phones are also thinner than any Apple has ever released, so that's important. Each is powered by a new A8 chip, which is a little bit stronger and more energy efficient than it was. They also have good new cameras and that make it easier than ever to take great pictures, according to Tim Cook. As rumored, there is a one-handed mode, sort of. Apple is moving the buttons lower to the bottom and putting the power button on the side for easier access.
The reachability mode.
It was a sort of unconventional workaround, but it makes sense, and it now makes Apple much more like, every other phone in existence. Software is getting an upgrade to match the bigger screen hardware. The iPhone's keyboards will have dedicated cut, copy, and paste buttons. You'll also be able to add other phones, so finally you guys can have swipe.
Yep.
I could not live without swipe. I cannot imagine anybody buying a phone and not having swipe.
Just learn how to type.
But yeah, exactly. Yes. Said, "Oh, if only I could."
Darn.
The iPhone's. I did that. The phone's proprietary apps will take advantage of the phone's bigger screens. They'll react just like they do on the iPad, with some, like Stocks, operating for the first time ever in landscape mode. Mail will let you pop out a new message you're composing. Messages even get a nice touch in that your contacts will have an avatar next to their name. That's so new. One of the nicest
upgrades... It's new to Apple.
It is new to Apple. That's exactly right. Is that the iPhone's home screen can now be viewed in landscape mode, too. The second major reveal at Apple's event was Apple Pay, the company's take on mobile payments. We collectively spend $12 billion, billion with a B, a day with our credit cards, which Tim Cook pointed out is an antiquated system. Apple Pay is powered by NFC, near-field communication, which is embedded in the phone along the top. You'll be able to use any credit cards you already have on file with iTunes, or you can take a photo of a new credit card and add it to your phone at participating retailers, which are there's billions of them already doing it for other phones. You'll be able to hold your phone up to a chip at checkout with your thumb on the eye the Touch ID sensor and pay in a snap. Speaking of participating retailers, there are more than 22,000. Macy's, Bloomingdale, Whole Foods, Disney Staples, Walgreens. What?
222,000?
No, 22,000 retailers, not outlets.
Oh, okay.
Right? Different companies, 22,000 companies. Subways, McDonald's, etc. I paid with my Samsung Galaxy 5. I paid at McDonald's this morning. I was running errands early, which was stupid. And I suddenly realized I haven't had breakfast. So I drove through McDonald's, and the lady was
confused.
She kept going, "What did you just do?
Are you going to give me money?" "No, I'm not."
"No, look at your screen.
My computer gave your computer the money."
"I've paid." "No, you just waved your phone at the..." "No, I paid. Look at your cash register." "Oh, yeah. Wow. Is that a new Apple phone?" "No, no, lady. No."
She actually asked you that?
Yeah.
Wow.
She actually did, yeah. Apple saved the most leaked item for last, called Apple Watch, although everyone else will continue to call it the iWatch.
And apparently even Tim Cook is still saying iWatch in a couple interviews.
Yep. Device will be available in early 2015, starting at $350. Personalization is key. Apple designed 6 different straps for the Apple Watch with a clasp that easily lets you swap between bands. There's 1940s technology for you. Not only that, but Apple designed 2 different sizes for the Apple Watch because one size does not necessarily fit well on every wrist. There are also 3 collections, the standard Apple Watch, the fitness lover's Apple Watch Sport, and the fashionista's Apple Watch Edition with 18-karat gold. That means 2 sizes, 3 faces, and 6 bands, which in Apple math, according to Tim Cook, means millions of unique designs.
2 × 3 × 6, right?
Yeah. And that apparently in Apple land means millions. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, is Apple's latest announcement. And your choices are, "I've never seen anything like this." "Very nice." "Seriously, that's it." And app who now? So far, we have 28 votes, and seriously, that's it, is winning, followed by app who now, followed by very nice, and at least no one's had the nerve to say, "I've never seen anything like this." And honestly, we're following the national trend there, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I know you'll have more to say because this is a really fascinating subject. So if you go to the forums, that's scroll down the right-hand side of the screen under fascinating stuff. You'll see a link to the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. And the top item this week, right now at least, is 13 September 14, Apple's latest announcements. And if you'd like to talk about the Apple announcements... here on the air, give us a call, 585-9... What?
Go ahead. I'll finish the number.
Yeah, should at least do that. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299.
Especially if you're already waiting in line.
And there are people.
They started lining up last week.
No, they started paying other people to line up last week. Yeah, is how that happened.
And they were even starting, it's been the past couple of weeks, really getting hit from even Microsoft with their phone, because they have an iPhone up there, and they show the newest Windows phone.
Yep. Well, Cortana and Siri are duking it out.
"Do this and this, and, you know, and I can't do that." You know, the iPhone keeps saying, "I can't do that, I can't do that.
Yep. Samsung has already got ads out for the features that Apple is finally adding that Android has had.
Right.
And part of the problem with that is Apple only comes out with one phone a year.
Right.
And so these are new technologies to Apple, but they've been out on the Android market for a while because Android phones come out every month.
Right.
Or worse.
Right. And that, when they come out from different manufacturers, not
right.
like
there's
every
so,
manufacturer
so many
putting them out.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But what that means is that a lot of Mac people have been suffering from Android envy.
Yeah.
In terms of features. And in fact, who was it? Was it somebody did a whole series of commercials about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was Samsung.
Probably.
It's the new Galaxy S5, which is the phone I have.
And
is that the new Galaxy S5? Yes. I haven't charged my phone in 2 days, and I get phone calls and texts, and I look stuff up, and I have 86% of my battery left.
You know,
and who's that hot chick on your phone?
Shut up, that's my daughter.
You know, I was even comparing. compared.
Not for you. Not ever.
Never.
For you.
I should say.
So Shirley doesn't listen to this show.
No.
No, but I was comparing. Remember, we talked a while back about the LG. LG is coming out with one, and I was comparing that again with the S5.
Yep.
Because the LG isn't out yet. And the S5 still is very strong against even current LG that's coming out. And it's like, why even bother?
One of the blogs, one of the Android blogs, and it got picked up by some of the Apple blogs too, showed a fake ad basically saying, welcome, Apple, and let's compare you to the Galaxy S3.
The S3, which is 2 years old.
You've got this and this and this and this. All right.
Right, and it's exactly the same specs. The S3 from 2 years ago actually has slightly better specs than the Apple
6,
than the iPhone 6 has now. And then it says, hey, Apple people. Wait until 2016. You'll love, and then it lists about 15 other things that the phones have now that they don't.
Yep.
And then at the bottom it says, having trouble using your new phone? Ask any Android user. We've had this stuff for a while.
Oops.
But Apple,
well, go ahead.
So Apple also had problems with their live stream. They rarely live stream these events. Often it comes out as a stream on demand a few hours later.
Right.
But Apple announced they were going to live stream it. And it didn't work out so well. For the first half hour or so, the stream kept cutting in and out. And there was a Chinese translation audio track playing.
Nice.
Nice. And it kept dying. We kept getting the feed from the video truck showing the color bars. And so people were digging around. The first thought was that it was a capacity issue. There were just too many people trying to watch. But Apple uses Akamai for their content delivery, and that shouldn't have been a problem. And so a couple of people finally figured out that there was a JSON query on Apple's front page. Because the other thing they did was, when you went to Apple.com, it automatically started the stream. So there was a JavaScript, whatever JSON stands for, JavaScript code, that caused Apple's page to refresh every few milliseconds. Which is fine if it's a text page, sort of. It's a video stream, so Akamai couldn't cache it. Because it changed every few milliseconds.
Right.
And so people were ending up hitting Apple directly, and not their distribution network. And so a lot of people were getting access denied errors. And then the Chinese track was someone in the truck was putting the wrong feed onto the main stream, because they probably had a dozen different language translations going to different countries, and somebody noticed, or apparently didn't notice, the Chinese one was going to the American English-speaking country.
Right.
So we'll have to see how well that works on their next announcement. Are they going to stream it?
Yeah. And somebody, Domino's or I don't remember what company, put out an ad on Twitter that was that color bar thing.
Yeah.
With their stuff in it instead, like pizza with music.
Yep.
Pizza without music, but you know, whatever. Yep. Whatever.
It was a huge trending meme on Twitter for a long time.
Yeah. What we're seeing, however, is that they're really, this latest Apple announcement falls into two camps. There's the, oh my God, it's from Apple, it's the greatest thing ever. And there's the, seriously, that's it? You know, if you strip the announcement down to its basics, there's a slightly faster, bigger iPhone, and a watch, which kind of everybody else has already. So, again, there was nothing revolutionary from Apple in this announcement.
And it was pretty much what everyone already expected.
And it was what everybody expected.
Bigger screen, faster processor, better camera.
Exactly. But that's all. But, yeah. I mean, that's it. And so, and I think, and I, you know, to be absolutely fair to Apple, I think it's completely unrealistic to assume they're going to hit a grand slam every time up at bat.
Yep.
Nobody does. Nobody does.
And Samsung has had some horrible, horrible keynotes. The 50s Broadway play,
where the
woman, you could look at your phone and it would pause because you didn't want to get your nails dirty because you just painted your fingernails.
Right. But it was, you know, for what it was excellent. But people aren't cutting Apple any slack. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And to tag on to the iPhone discussion for a minute, yesterday the iPhones went on pre-order. The pluses are sold out for months and months and months in advance. And the regular ones are sold out for weeks in advance. Apparently, people have... Apple people have been jonesing for a decent-sized screen.
And one of Tim Cook's interviews he did, I think it was on Charlie Rose, he said that we could have made a bigger screen years ago, but I didn't quite understand why they didn't and what he said and what it meant. But I'm almost wondering if it was a Steve Jobs thing because...
I'm sure it was.
Well, his whole thing was one-handed use.
Except you couldn't use it with one hand because of where they put the power button. Well, he could get very long fingers.
Yeah. So now with the reachability mode where everything will move itself down so you can reach the top buttons while you're holding it with one hand. But a lot of the reviews that people have done, they stop and have taken note of their own usage. Most people don't use the phone with one hand.
That's right.
Unless you're just looking at the screen to check what that text message said.
Right.
They're almost always using two hands anyway.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Sal from Fairport, New York. Hiya, Sal. What's up?
Hey, guys. Hey, I love this discussion on the new phones and things. You know, a thought is the market didn't open up in China until most recently. And the Asian market really likes the larger phones. So perhaps the weight on the larger screens coincides with that market opening as well.
Oh, nice point.
And the other thing is the Apple Watch essentially shut down sales of other smartwatches for the next 6 months.
And LG has already cut the price of their G Watch, so other companies are cutting the price and maybe slowing down development to see what happens with the Apple Watch.
Right.
Exactly. The same with the iPhone when it was first introduced. It took about 6 months before it finally came out, and I'm sure the sales of phones shifted.
Well, yes, they did. But there's two problems with that. First, most Android people are not going to buy an Apple Watch because they won't get the full benefit of it.
Right, but here's the other part. Major purchases were done by Gazelle on the larger Samsung phones.
Right.
Because I think the trade-in is happening and they're going to switch over, which then coincides with the smartwatch.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe people switch to the Samsung to get the bigger screen, and now they'll switch back to the Apple
to get
back their old stuff. Yeah.
People who left Apple because they couldn't get a bigger screen and a watch.
Yeah.
But I think it's the Asian market that really made...
That makes a lot of sense.
There was a huge underground in people buying iPhones here and shipping them to Hong Kong and Singapore.
Yeah.
People were paying people to stand in line for them. And that's one of the reasons Apple instituted a 2-unit-per-person rule, because somebody would come in from Hong Kong with a wad of cash and say, give me all of them, and go back to Hong Kong and sell them for twice the price.
Right.
Sure.
And we were talking during the break about the cost of these things. The high-end 6 Plus unlocked is, what, $950?
Yeah, $950 unlocked with 128 gig storage.
Right. And the watch starts at $350. Nobody's even saying what the price of the gold one is going to be. It's going to be interesting.
And that's luxury watches is an interesting market. Rolex is probably one of the most well-known brand names. You know, that's a grand for a watch for the cheap watch. You know, most of them are 20, 30 grand. I see him on Pawn Stars. The guy wants $30,000 for Bernie Madoff's Rolex. Well, he might be a celebrity, but he's not one that people want to collect. I'll give you $15,000 for it.
Right.
For used.
Right.
Yeah. Well, they did it very smartly with all the variety of styles and also the bands that are available.
Yeah, yeah, the millions of styles.
But that's got to be terrible for manufacturing and production. How do you know how many of each to make?
Well,
you know what? I, with the mix and match, you find out down the road, just like they used to have all those different color iPods, you remember? And then they
which ones are selling more, which ones are not selling.
Some of the gold ones didn't do well and bumped up the green and blues and all that.
And what Apple is doing very cleverly here is, unlike some other companies, they're only putting out two phones.
Oh, absolutely.
You get it in white, and it's either this size or this size.
Yeah.
But the watch bands, what?
25. Samsung puts out 25 sizes. I think there was only one, and they were like a quarter inch increments or something.
Right.
You got from 2.5 inch to, 8 inch.
Right. And what Apple has done is taken the single cheapest component, the watch band, and made that available in multiple things.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not going to really have a huge impact on manufacturing because it's just watch bands.
Yep. Right. And interchangeable, left hand, right hand, they did it well.
Yeah, they did. Yep.
And that was one of the sort of the side things that happened because of the iPhone 6. Last year's iPhone 5C is now the free with contract.
Yep. Right.
And last year's 5S is the $100 with contract. So everyone that bought it for $300 last year, it's now the $100 one as they move down the product. So Nick and I were joking during the break. So that means next year we're going to get the 6S and the 6S Plus.
Yeah, for Sapphire. Sapphire Crystal goes out to it.
Yeah, that was one thing that didn't show up in these models is the Sapphire Crystal, everyone rumored. Yeah, the S maybe will have that.
If you have a 5S, 5C, or a 5, you'll be able to use a smartwatch and still do the Apple Pay.
Yep.
Right.
Because the smartwatch has the NFC.
Yeah, right. That may be the hidden feature. Maybe the phones aren't that big a deal, but Apple being able to push up the Apple Pay system, even though Google's had NFC for a while, being able to get this many banks and this many retailers involved in doing Apple Pay might be what tips it over the edge. Although I did read that Walmart and Best Buy are not going to be involved.
Oh, they will be.
They will be eventually because they both sell Apple products. So I can see Apple coming along and saying, hey, you want to sell our stuff?
Even Wegmans just redid all their terminals in the stores.
Well, that's what's coming anyway because the U.S. is moving to chip and pin.
It's mandatory.
So everyone has to buy a new terminal for their point of sale anyway.
Exactly.
Might as well get this NFC mode in.
That's why NFC was delayed. I'm sure Apple looked at it and said, it's going to be mandatory by this time. Now we'll introduce it. Didn't need to.
Right. Again, talking about the overseas market, Coke machines have NFC in them.
Japan has been doing this for, 20 years?
20 years.
You hold your phone up in front of the machine and you get your soda.
That's right.
And we didn't have it here. Now it's going to be mandatory. Now they do it. How Apple, they wait until the right time. Yeah. The technology is there. Introduce it.
Yeah, the EU reported that credit card fraud dropped 80% when they instituted chip and pin.
Yeah, and we needed that here. Now we've got something that's a little more secure.
And so now it almost doesn't matter about all these credit card breaches. Doesn't matter if someone gets your credit card number. They don't have the chip in your card.
Right. And or so they won't when we get them.
Right. They can have your number and your pin. That doesn't matter. They need the chip.
Right.
So hopefully someone won't reverse engineer that chip.
Well, right. And who was it who said Apple found a niche in the marketplace and has finally linked the pain of losing your phone to the agony of losing your wallet.
Yeah. So now you can do both.
Well, without the numbers, they're not going to do a whole lot with it.
Well, that's exactly right. If you have to put in a pin or swipe your finger or whatever it is that you do in order to pay for something, it really doesn't matter if somebody steals your phone.
And we're used to pins with debit cards.
Right.
Right. Well, and even the watch, once you take it off, you put it back on, you've got to put in a pin.
Right.
In case someone finds your watch, they can't use that Apple Pay with it.
Right.
Should explain to some folks that don't know what we're talking about as far as chip and pin.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you all know about pins. When you use your credit card at an ATM or whatever, you have to put in the personal identification number, the pin. And that uniquely, theoretically, couples you to your card. Mm-hmm. What we're finding is people create a pin that's the same as the last four digits of the card or, whatever it is. And it's easy to guess. So now there's going to be a chip in that card. So you can't fake the card because it won't have the extra chip in it. It won't have the same chip in it. Each, you know, each chip is going to be unique.
Which really cuts down on the fraud because people who can't get your credit card number and just use that on, you know, on say Amazon, get the credit card number and the three-digit code.
Right. There's no longer a number on it for folks to see. It's just the chip.
Yep.
That's they've got to know is, you know, how most credit cards you folks out there know your credit card number by heart. Well, with this chip and new card, you won't see a credit card number on there. You'll just see your name.
So I wonder how that's going to deal with online purchases because you can't just type in your credit card number now. So one of the things,
you just have to know it,
right?
As opposed to read it off the card.
One of the things we've always talked about is with credit card fraud is that almost the breaches are bad, but we're used to handing our credit card to someone who walks away with it for 20 minutes at the restaurant.
Yeah,
and in Europe they bring the PIN pad to you, swipe it right at the table. Right. And you're done. So you don't have to go up and wait in line at the register.
And you put your PIN in at the table.
Right.
Right.
And so the machine never gets your credit card number because it's part of the encryption of the card. The card says, yes, that's the right PIN. And the card tells the machine, approve the charge.
Right.
The machine never gets your number.
There was an incident at our local Cheesecake Factory not too long ago where they had a server that was taking the card back and also skimming it.
Yeah.
The tune of thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Well, Ruby Tuesday's right now on the table. They've got it so you can order appetizers and desserts, and you can also pay your bill right there at the table.
Right. Yep. And you notice it's NFC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
So now that the NFC is available, I'm sure that's why the holdoff.
Now that NFC is available at Apple.
At Apple. And Apple made deals with all these banks. Google just said, here's NFC.
Yeah.
They never promoted it.
Well, and that's the problem with Google. They put out some really fascinating technology, and then they just let it lay there and say, well, people pick it up when they're interested in it. What Apple goes out and makes the deals first, then introduces the technology.
Sure. Yep.
You lay the foundation. Like you lay the foundation with a phone. iPad came out. You know how to use it.
Right.
Touch.
There were blog stories about the super secrecy that Apple put into with banks and the credit card companies to
the Apple itself.
When they were developing this, because they must have been talking to the banks for at least 6 months, if not a year, to do this, and they were talking about how few people actually knew what they were doing. The people who knew what they were doing didn't know it was Apple,
right?
And they changed the code name every couple of weeks so it didn't leak. In fact, Apple Pay was one of the least leaked things of the event. We knew there was going to be some sort of payment method, but the passport feature Apple already has from last year never really caught out. Now being able to put your credit card in your passbook to do Apple Pay is going to really push that feature.
Right. And you know what? We all win. I've had NFC, and now I'll have thousands more companies I can do it with.
Right, right. And you know, being mandatory for just about every retailer down the road.
Right,
gonna make it so simple.
Right.
Well, I still know people that use cash.
Right. This puts us more on the grid than ever before.
But then you need to use your PIN at the ATM to get the cash.
Right.
Or walk into the teller to get your cash. Some banks charge extra to see a teller. There's a service fee to actually walk in the bank and see the teller.
Nice.
You don't want to be at that bank then.
Yeah.
That's right.
Heck no.
Because you can do your deposits, you can do your withdrawals at the ATM. A lot of banks now are doing the take a picture of the check with your smartphone and it deposits it for you.
Yeah, I can do that. That's cool.
I was just thinking, when was the last time I was at a bank? Except to drive through the ATM, the drive-through.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time I was actually at a bank? And I'm going back 2.5 years to when my credit card was stolen. And I had to go to the bank and show them my face to get the new credit card.
Yep.
But before that, I can't even begin to tell you when it was. I do everything out of either my card itself or my phone.
Sure. You could do web banking so easily.
Right.
Royalties. Transactions and bill pays. When's the last time you used a stamp to mail a bill?
Well, exactly.
Do it through the bank. And that's how you add credit cards. You take a picture of that now.
Yep. Right. All my royalty payments for stuff I sell on Amazon comes through as an electronic transaction. All right, we got to take a break.
Thanks,
guys. In just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Bodan from Rochester, New York on the line. Hiya, Bodan. What's up?
Gentlemen, good afternoon. I've got a question in regards to media players. Of course, I have Windows Media Player, came standard loaded, but I also downloaded and really like the VLC player. But also I have QuickTime that came that's on my computer. In regards to formats, there's a format called MPEG-4. And even though if I right-click, VLC will play it, but somehow the default player is set to open up QuickTime, which I really don't want to do. My question is this, and I do have QuickTime open. I'm looking under the tools there, and I have VLC under options. I can't see where to change it so that VLC will play the MPEG-4 format.
It's neither of those places, of course.
Right.
Where is it then?
Find an MP4 file.
I have one MPEG-4 in front of me, yes.
Right click.
And the left click on it.
Left click on it?
Yeah.
Once.
Right. Then shift right click on it.
Okay.
And then there's an open with command.
Open right.
Open with. That brings up
open with. Yes, sir.
Open with. Yep. That brings up a list of programs.
Yes, sir.
Pick VLC.
Uh-huh.
And there's a checkbox that says always open with.
Let me see.
The checkbox is at the bottom just in front of the OK.
Open with. Checkbox, mine says VLC, choose program, then.
Right, so
right.
You have
click,
to choose.
Click, choose that one.
And then always got it.
Yep. You're changing the file association table, which it's buried inside Windows somewhere to get to that list, but this is the easy way to get to it.
Got it.
And so now, theoretically,
using the QuickTime player, and I wanted to use VLC, but I went under the VLC tools and options, and I couldn't see it there. And then I opened up QuickTime. I just couldn't figure it out. So you guys came to the rescue for me.
That's what I like to hear. Thanks.
Some of the media players will have a preference that says set me as default for all media types, which they usually do when you install that next media player. So suddenly your files open with this new player that you were just testing instead of the old player that you wanted
And some of them, like QuickTime, assumes it should always be it. And so sometimes QuickTime will change by itself. We'll just decide I'm going to play these.
Right. And there are some formats that only play in one player.
Right.
The .mov file will probably only play in QuickTime. Although, I would bet that VLC can play MOVs with QuickTime loaded.
Yeah, it handles them all. Right. But the other thing, though, is folks also get, like I've said for a long time, people get click happy. When they're installing stuff, they just go, yeah. And a lot of the screens now are adding, little comments below, and they're checked. Oh, make this now your default home page. Also, they might have another one. Make this your permanent, viewer. And people just don't take the time to read it. They're just going past it, and now all of a sudden, even their home page and their browser has changed.
Yep.
Yeah.
You changed your home page. You changed your search engine. You changed everything.
And there can be quite a list there because folks think, that must be all part of the program. No, take the time to read it.
And you installed the Ask toolbar and the Yahoo toolbar.
Oh.
Yep.
I had.
And the other, I'm sorry, the other thing you listeners need to know is what MP4 is.
Mm-hmm.
MP3, we all know, is a music file. What it actually is an audio file. MP4. Is from the same group, the Motion Picture Experts Group, MPEG, M-P-E-G, Motion Picture Experts Group, and it's a video file. So when you play, for example, a DVD, you're playing visually an MP4, and audio is an MP3.
DVDs are usually MPEG-2.
And yeah, well, let's not go there. But if you were to rip something,
you rip it to MPEG-4.
You rip it to MPEG-4 and MPEG-3.
Right.
Sometimes. Mm-hmm. So on MPEG-4, you can have just audio. You can just have just video with an accompanying MP3 file. You can have them mixed all in one file. But MP4 is a video file.
And then there's H.264.
Let's not go anywhere near there.
Let's not go there. And, Apple's and, using H.265 for its stream.
Right.
When it worked.
Right. And the MPEG, the Motion Picture Experts Group, these are just two of several standards that they have, MPEG, MPEG-2, MPEG-3, MPEG-4.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of different things that are available. MPEG-3, not really the best audio quality.
It's MPEG-1 Audio Layer 3, which is where it got its name from.
Right.
And it was released in 1994, and it was a really cool compression format way back then, and that's what made portable music players possible. Because now you could get hundreds of songs on a portable music player instead of a dozen.
Dozens. Yeah. The big problem though is that it is a compression format. And so you lose
a lossy compression format.
So you lose a lot of the highs, you lose a lot of the lows, you lose a lot of the harmonics. And so what's interesting is that kids growing up today, they did a survey, they actually prefer the flatter sound of an MP3 to a live concert.
Yep.
Because it's what they grew up with. I grew up with sticks on pieces of wood, but old tree trunks, hollowed out tree trunks. But I grew up with tubes on in the radio and records with needles, and so all of that was analog. You got all the highs, all the lows, all the harmonics, which you don't get anymore with most of these formats.
There's a better format that most rippers use called AAC, the Advanced Audio Codec, developed by Dolby Labs. It's still lossy, but not as lossy. And if you look at iTunes or Winamp, you'll probably see that it's using AAC, but MP3 is just the term we all know.
Ogg Vorbis.
Right. There are lossless formats. Right. So these lossy formats get about a 90% compression.
Right.
So your 700 meg CD takes about 7 megs on the disc.
Right.
Or 70 megs. The lossless encoding is only about a 50% compression. So that gives you all of the audio information, but it takes up much more disk space, which was a big deal back in the 90s. Nowadays, with terabyte hard drives, a lot of people are using lossless encoding because it's a little smaller, but you're not losing any information. And those will be preferences in your MP3 ripping program as to what compressor you want to use.
Right. And so finding Ogg Vorbis gives you more of the highs, more of the lows. It's not quite as bad as MP3. It sounds much better. To my ears, at least, it sounds much better. The problem is Apple doesn't use it, and so you can't get it in a lot of places.
There are third-party Vorbis, and I think even VLC plays Ogg.
Right.
But it doesn't work in iTunes, so you can't put it in your iDevice to listen to.
But it does work on any Android device. So on my iPod, when I rip a CD I legally own, I make sure that I rip it as an Ogg Vorbis. The file is a little bit bigger, but much better quality. So I'm getting the highs that I like, the lows that I like, all of that stuff. Now, that said, I'm ripping a CD, so it's already not as good as it could be, but it's still better than an MP3.
Vinyl albums are making a comeback with the richer sound
of
vinyl. Yeah,
that's
an analog format. You're hearing all of the music.
And like I said, they did a thing, and kids today don't like live performances because there's too much information, notes.
The other thing is all the processing that they do after the fact to make that horrible singer sound good.
Right.
And they can't do that live on stage.
Have you heard of Peter Hollins? I bet you have. You just don't know the name. He's Peter, H-O-L-L-E-N-S. He's a singer, and he is an entire orchestra of his own. He does a cappella music all by himself. So he lays down a bass track and a treble track and an alto, well, not an alto track because he's a male, but a baritone track and a tenor track. And he lays them all down on his own and lays five or six and a beat track and you know, all that stuff himself. And you can see a bunch of his things on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you can, and he's got albums out now.
Just mixes them all
and
together.
And it's just amazing when you listen to him. There's a group called Home Free. I listen to a lot of a cappella music because the sound of the human voice in close harmony is the most beautiful sound on earth. And they've got a guy there whose name I can't remember all of a sudden, who's got an enormous range, and he's a natural bass. So he gets way down there. He was on a TV show called The Sing-Off, and on one of their albums, they sing the same song. And the last note is an F below low C. That's way, way,
whoa, that's going
way
low.
Down there. To the point where most home televisions can't reproduce the sound. It's too low for them. You hear, but you don't actually hear the note.
The true tone.
But I bought their album and ripped it to Og, and the note is so clean and so clear when you hear it. It's kind of amazing. It's kind of amazing, but we don't, you know. People say, do you have any regrets in your life? And I do. I actually have one regret. I was not born a bass. See, I like his voice.
There you go.
That's right. And perfect pitch. And I'd have been all set. Those two things right there.
There's a guy like Peter Hollins, I'm trying to find his name, that does that with instruments. So he makes piano and organ and drum, makes all the sounds himself, you know, with his own body and his own voice, mixes it together and does concerts.
Nice.
Basically. Ali Wajah, something like that, I think. He's Arab.
Yeah.
But I can't remember how to spell
name.
His name, so I can't find
that
him.
Name. I don't know. But that's when you talk about codecs, and that's what these are, coding and decoding, the codecs, right? Coding and decoding music or anything, really, but in this particular case, music. The MP3 is one codec. Ogg Vorbis is another codec. Wave is a different codec. So they're all ways to do that encoding and decoding. And lossless is better than lossy. Ogg Vorbis is a better sound than MP3 because it's less lossy and keeps more of the highs and the lows. MP3s flatten out the tones. I've never been a fan of MP3s, to be honest with you. I'll listen if I got nothing else, but it's not my favorite. And that's the same with those Beats headphones. Have you ever actually listened to Beats headphones?
No.
All the highs are gone. The whole point of those is that you hear the bass.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so all the highs are gone. Half the middles are gone. All the harmonics are gone. It's really a headset designed for MP3s and bass. Okay. And that's really what it's designed for. And
limited.
So if what you're listening to is all bass, right, and whether it's hip-hop or rap or house music or whatever it is, when all you want is that bass,
then
they're excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But
if
you're actually trying to listen to music with, I don't know, voices or instruments, you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen.
That was one of the jokes in the olden days we had, that if you can't hear the highs and can't hear the lows, it must be Bose.
Yeah. Well,
great mid-range,
but no good highs or lows. And that's why, and frankly, that meets the older person's hearing range. As we get older, we lose the highs and the lows. So Bose is a great speaker for older people because it hits the range they can hear in.
Yep. And I found his name is Ala Awardi. A-L-A-A-W-A-R-D-I. And he's got these great YouTube videos where he makes each instrument its own little piece of the video.
Hollins does the same thing. Yeah.
And so he does all these instrumentals with no instruments.
Yeah, nice. And they're instrumentals. They're not songs.
Well, sometimes. Yeah. So in this one, the center is the actual audio track.
Yeah. Okay.
Most of them are in Arabic, but he does a few in English.
Right.
Here's one by Allah and Peter doing it together.
Oh, nice. Doesn't that...
From Slumdog Millionaire.
Doesn't that kill the concept? Okay. Anyway.
Well, one guy's the instruments, one guy's the vocals, right?
Right. But that's our quick little dissertation on music here on Soundbites, MP3s versus Ogg Vorbis. Versus Waves, versus the Beats headset, versus the Bose.
I just want to listen to my music. Well, and that goes, how many people still rip CDs? Most music now is either streamed from a streaming service or you buy it outright on one of the music download sites. You don't actually rip CDs anymore.
That's right. And downloading, and what how you save it is important, your music. We save sound bites in a fairly tiny format. But it doesn't matter because it's just voice. You don't need highs or lows or harmonics. It's just the human voice, so it's a different deal. So our files are relatively small considering it's 2 hours of audio.
Yeah.
But that Steve does that on purpose because you don't need a lot of the additional sounds you get from less compressed stuff. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. We've finished an hour. We're going to do a whole nother one. It's 59 minutes after the hour. So stay tuned. We got a whole lot more of Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of this Saturday's longest-running version of the longest-running... make a sentence out of that. Before we go any farther, I have an announcement to make. I am very excited to say that I am in the process of publishing my very first ebook on Amazon.
Ooh.
I'm very excited about that. It's going to be called, I Just Bought a Chromebook, Help. and I've got a second one that I'm finishing up on word processing on Google Drive. And then I am finally doing something that many people have asked about for the longest time. I'm going to be putting together books of my old columns from the newspaper.
Ooh.
And those will also be available as ebooks on Amazon. And so we'll see.
It'd be interesting to see how similar the questions are. I'm trying to dial into AOL, and Internet Explorer isn't opening the website.
One of the issues that I have is, how do I do this? How do I organize them?
Yeah.
So at first, my first decision was, I'll organize them by year. And I'm going to start with 2013, because at least some of those questions are relevant, right?
Yeah.
Most of them. So... I'm going to start with 2013, then I'll put out 2012, 2011, 2010, and see how far back I get before nobody buys any of them. I expect to become a multimillionaire within weeks.
We can sit there and say, we knew when.
That's exactly right.
We knew him when.
Exactly
he used to talk
right.
to us for 25 years, and all of a sudden, the internet went to his head.
Yeah.
It exploded.
Once he started selling a million copies a week of his books,
there was just no talking to him.
Anymore.
Right, he was unapproachable.
Right, exactly. What a idiot he is. But yeah, so those hopefully will they have to be vetted. You put them in there, and then they say, well, it's going to be. And I put it in Friday, the first book, and they say it's going to be 48 hours or so mm-hmm. before somebody gets to it. I suppose that's so, you know, you don't, well, what they say they're worried about, of course, is ads, you know, a book-length ad.
Oh, yeah.
But I see a million books there, how to lose weight with my diet plan, you know, or how to, you know, do this with my, you know,
oh, okay.
Send me 50 bucks for this. And
well, it'd be under self-help, but so would yours.
Yeah, it would, actually.
Computer self-help versus personal self-help.
Right. But I guess they have to do that, or maybe they're worried that it's some sort of... I suspect what they're really worried about is copyright infringement.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to put out you want to ship a Star Trek.
And some of the other information that you could be putting out there.
Right.
Well, you know, I mean, it's...
Well, I don't think they care. They have a whole series of books now. They call them romances... But they're apparently, I have not read one, they're apparently very explicit between women and dinosaurs. This is true.
Huh? Interesting.
This is true. I've been this tempted to buy one just to see what they are.
Oh.
Apparently they're fairly explicit, and it's a whole genre. You know, we've gone past vampires and werewolves and that puny stuff, and now we're up to dinosaurs.
Six.
Raptors mostly. Yeah, oh yeah, there's a whole series of them.
Are they at least intelligent?
I don't know. I haven't read them. Pardon? There you go.
So there's an author. Apparently there's one.
But she's apparently writing, you know, 50 or 100 books a week.
And that can't be her real picture.
I don't see why not. Taken by the pterodactyl. There you go.
T-Rex
Troubles. There you go. It's all there.
Well, this was a family show.
Well, it's still, we didn't say anything. We just
I know.
Said, you know.
No, just the image.
Ravaged by Raptors.
Just the image.
Is one
I'm
of
sorry.
The titles.
See, I'm just remembering an old Outer Limits episode, probably, where the intelligent dinosaurs
right.
from their planet were the great mathematicians that created the wormholes that allow you to travel through interstellar space.
There you go.
And Enrico Colantoni was in it, and there was this big moral dilemma that they had to do, and now I'm going to want to find that episode and watch it again.
Right. And you probably can.
They
it's available somewhere.
They did. It's one of the old problems in transporters. They digitize you at this end and then reconstitute you at the other end. But what happens to the you at this end? Well, they have to incinerate you, of course.
Right. Is that you at the other end you?
Yeah.
And Bone said that all the time, as a matter of fact. All right. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I wanted to go back to when you were talking about audio compression.
Sure.
And I find the only way I can tolerate MP3s is either doing them at 320 kilobytes per second or doing variable bit rate and setting it at the highest level, which I think is zero, which compresses it between 320 and 245.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's the only way I think they sound pretty decent.
If you have something that will play Og Vorbis's, I'd be interested in hearing what you think of those.
I don't have a player that will play that.
Yeah,
format,
VLC will.
But I can listen to it on the computer. I've never tried compressing to that format.
Right. I'm not saying you should start using it, particularly if you don't have a player that plays it. But I'd be interested in your impression of what Og Vorbis files sound like. Which
they'll
you can play
like
in VLC.
CD.
What?
I said they'll probably sound like the CD.
They sound much more like the CD, which is still a lossy compression, but less.
Neil Young never embraced CD.
Right.
He said that what was it? It's at 44.1.
Yep.
Sample rate, he said it's too low. It should have been 90, the higher one, the 96.
Yep.
And he never embraced it and didn't want to put out most of his albums on CD.
Right, and that's why many people over the years have embraced WAVE files, which are not lossless.
Right.
Yeah, which are not compressed, rather.
Right.
Which is why they're so huge.
So you need a huge player to play them.
Right, right, right. But I know a lot of people who will take a WAV file and then convert that to 320K MP3s or Ogg Vorbis at one of the lower compression levels, meaning higher quality sound. And then they get way more of the real tone, but still small enough to put on a player somewhere.
Right. I find that 320 kilobytes is still fairly small.
Yeah.
Especially with today, you know, when you can
giant drives.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, you can get a 120 gigabyte player and it'll still fit a ton at 320.
Right.
And if you're really concerned, you can use the variable bit rate, which will, you know, fluctuate depending on how complicated the music is.
Right, right, right. And
you get a decent sounding MP3. I don't like anything under 192 anyways.
Yeah, yeah. And sadly it's decent sounding, not great. But
yeah, it's decent, and if you have any kind of equalization on your player like I do on mine, you can really get some high end and some bass out of it, because mine's got a clarity setting on it.
Oh, there you go.
Turn the clarity all the way up, and the high end comes alive again.
Nice, nice.
Especially with a decent pair. I got a pair of Sennheiser earbuds.
Yep.
That weren't outrageously expensive, and they've got a good range on them, so they pick it up pretty good. So I just wanted to, you know, suggest that to somebody if they can't play some of the other compression, that, that the 320 works well, and it's still fairly small.
My daughter hates it when she says, "Oh, I love my music," and I say, "You haven't heard your music."
Exactly.
You know, sorry, but you have not.
Put on a pair of those huge Pioneer cans from the 70s and a decent turntable.
I have a pair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was music.
Yes, it really was. You could play. I've almost stopped listening to classical music because I certainly can't listen to it as an MP3. All you get are a few violins.
It's not flattering to classical music at all.
Right, but when I still have an old turntable and an old tube amp and also that old pair of cans, and I can put those on. Man, I can go away for the longest time on that music because it's just so rich and so full, which you don't hear on the MP3s. You don't hear it on CDs.
I remember when I was a kid, I would do that. Sitting in the beanbag chair next to the stereo with Emerson, Lake & Palmer and Pink Floyd. You know, the concept albums of the 70s where you couldn't just buy a song, and you wouldn't want to. The whole album is one concept.
Dark Side of the Moon comes alive on LP as opposed to CD.
Yep. Brain Salad Surgery. I love it. The first song on side two, "Welcome Back, My Friends, to the Show That Never Ends." Come alive.
Yep.
I used to play that at Seabreeze in the Whirligig thing.
Yeah.
Inside the building, yeah.
Yep. But you're right.
And, a lot of these CDs, you go back and you listen to them, and then you listen to the vinyl if you can, and they really are a different mix.
Yep.
Especially if you bought them in the early days when they first came out, a lot of those CDs were horrible.
Oh, they were terrible.
They were terrible. It's like looking at DVDs you bought in the late 90s. Yep.
They didn't know how to do them yet.
They didn't even find a clear copy or negative to make it from, you know, it's got scratches on it and it's just horrible.
Yep, yep.
And they don't do that anymore with DVDs and Blu-rays now. They really pick out some cream of the crop.
Yeah, they're all working from digital masters now anyway.
Yeah, like they're scanned at like 4K anyways, right?
Right.
Yeah.
In fact,
well,
apparently
that's what I had to say. I'll let you guys get back to your show, but thank you for.
All right, thank you, Mark. That was nice. Thank you. That was interesting and useful for us. That's if you're used to MP3s, if you're of a certain age. And you don't like MP3s, and it's not because you're an old fogey. It's because, comparatively, they have a pretty crappy sound. Whereas if you're a young person, you've never heard real music. You hear it in a live concert, but in the live concert, it's more about the crowd and being part of it than it is about the
about the music itself.
And that's sort of why we're seeing the comeback in vinyl. Much as we hate the hipsters, you know, they are bringing the comeback in vinyl.
Yep. And you get some beautiful stuff that way.
Yeah. The record stores that still exist here, about Record Archive, House of Guitars, that still sell vinyl records that you can get this rich sound out of.
But how do you
find a turntable now, too?
That's right.
Well, you can get USB ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, I mean, hook it up to your
stereo. Yeah, I have one.
Yeah.
I actually saw a House of Guitars commercial the other day. I haven't seen a House of Guitars commercial, and I can't tell you how long.
That's still amazing. He can tell you, go in there, and he knows where all the CDs and everything.
I got thrown out the other day for straightening up the aisle.
Yeah.
there you go. That's no lie.
Yeah, but he knew where everything was. Mm-hmm. That was like Billy at Worldwide News.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, back in college, I worked at Worldwide News for a while, and there was a guy named Billy. And if you needed a book, you talked to Billy, and they'd point you at Billy, and Billy'd go, let's say the book was Billy Budd, right? Billy Budd, Billy Budd, Billy Budd. And he'd be walking down the aisles, and he'd go, bought 3 copies of that 2 years ago. Sold one in October, sold one the next March, so I think I've got one. And he'd reach behind 2 other books and go, here.
Yeah.
And there was the last copy of Billy Budd. And then he'd say, I have to reorder that. And you knew he would.
Yeah.
You knew he would remember that and do it. But that was Billy. It was an amazing guy. But that's and Armand is very much the same way. He knows where everything is in that store. It's kind of creepy, frankly. But it is what it is. Some good people.
Initially founded in 1964. The Ben is a Rochester staple.
Yeah. And they actually teach their commercials in marketing classes.
Yeah.
As what not to do. What shouldn't work and does.
Yeah. House of Guitars is an Apple value-added reseller because of the music connection. You can buy your Apple computers there and set it up for music. And so all of the Apple meetings we used to have in town, you could always tell who worked where. Because the guy from the House of Guitars had a ponytail, and I wasn't wearing a tie.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, it's Sound Bites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites, and we have Steve from Greece, New York, on the line. Hiya, Steve. What's up?
Hello, gentlemen. I'll confess from the beginning, I did this myself.
Refreshing honesty.
Yeah. And probably 90% of the problems you get were self-inflicted. Anyway, I'm running Windows 7 Ultimate on my laptop, and this is the only place I dealt with this. And you know when you want to open a picture, so I'll ask you, you have to give extra permissions to open the pictures. One time they asked if I wanted to remember a setting. Basically, I presumed it was, do you want to give universal permission to open these JPEGs? And, of course, I said yes. If I can eliminate a step every time, I will.
Of course.
Well, what happens now is every time I save an image.
Yeah.
It pops up with open file security warning it's asking me if I want to open it, and all I wanted to do was save it, and every single time I save something, it asks me if I want to open it.
It's probably asking if you want to open the folder to save it in. But why does it keep doing it?
Do you want to open this file? And then it gives like Clear Falls, Delaware Water, National Park, .jpg. So it's asking to open that image file that I just saved.
Well, not entirely sure. You may have to, this is very weird, but you start, because this is Windows, you start in either Control Panel or Internet Explorer, frankly, and go to Internet Options. There is a setting called Launching Applications and Unsafe Files. That needs to be enabled. Then you have to run, and this is right from Microsoft, by the way, and then you have to run GP Editor, gpedit.msc. We'll put this article up. And under Administrative Templates, Windows Components, Internet Explorer, say Turn Off Security Settings Check Feature. And then, you can do it without Internet Explorer, actually. It's Administrative Templates, Add Remove Templates, Add One to See Windows 32. Apparently, something you've set thinks it's this file came from the Internet.
It did, but I'm not sure that I've made it clear. It's asking to open the file. Basically, all I did was say, save it, which is all I want to do. That would have been the end of my action, save it. I push save, and then it's asked me, do you want to open it? And so I have to say no every single time I save something. I don't want to open it. I just wanted to save it.
Right.
Well, you are opening it. It saves the file to disk, and then probably opens it back up in your window.
Well, saving
the
file.
That's not what I want to do. All I wanted to do was save it to disk. I didn't want to open it.
Well, then do a close and save instead of a save and close.
Okay, let me.
The problem with disabling the open file security warning is that then bad programs can get in because you're not being warned of them.
I don't believe I'm making myself. So all I do is save a program. You can save a program, an image file, a JPG, all the time.
Have you tried saving it somewhere else?
Yes.
And that doesn't change it?
No. As soon as I push save, up pops the screen. Do you want to open this file? And I don't. And every single time I have to say cancel. And I know I did it to myself. I know I clicked something that I shouldn't have. But it does say security warning, but if I click open, then it opens my viewer. And there's the picture.
Does it say, do you want to open it, or does it say, do you want to run it?
No, it says open.
Oh, okay.
I click save, and it says...
And it says it's an unknown publisher, and it's a shortcut?
Yes, it's unknown publisher, type, image types, and then it gives the path where it is.
All right. Okay. All right. This is something different. I apologize. I gave you the wrong answer.
I probably didn't make it clear.
No. It's okay. Actually, this is a known problem in Windows 7. Also a known problem in, yes, I'm going to say the word, Vista. Don't throw it.
Don't make me hurt you. You're not that far.
Yeah.
As long as you don't go to the other one either.
As long as it wasn't your pocket knife as opposed to your pen, that was all right.
As long as you don't go back to ME, I'm okay.
All right, I'm dumping him.
This is why, this is why we don't allow open carry here in the studio.
Yeah.
Yeah. In case I say the V word.
Remember, I have full control.
I know, you have control. What happens is what you're experiencing is the Windows integrity level.
Okay.
You can fix that. This is a different issue, and Steve will put up a link to this eventually. But I'm in the middle of doing it right now, so I'm not going to give my computer. So you click on the start button, all programs, accessories, right click on command prompt and open as administrator. You may be prompted to enter a password. You can do that. Now you have to run the ACL administrator, the access control list administrator, and change the integrity level. This is dangerous. Don't go screwing around in this. Just do the one thing that it tells you to do. And you should not, and you should then no longer get that integrity level warning.
But does that lower the security for bad programs opening?
No, this is it lowers it a little bit, but not. It's not lowering the internet one. It's lowering the local one.
Okay.
So theoretically, that should work, and Steve will have a thing on that up shortly. Again,
this is opening programs. This isn't saving documents.
Right. Well, as soon as I click yes, save the document, I presume it has saved the document. I can cancel out of this, and the document is where I saved it. But it's a second step every time I save now because it asks me if I want to open the file, and I don't want it to ask me if I want to open the file.
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying.
Stop asking me for it. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, try hitting close first instead of save first, and then it won't try to reopen it again. That might be a workaround.
Okay, so I don't understand that.
Instead of going to file save, go to file close, and if there's unsaved changes, it will ask if you want to save them.
Well, if you... push your cursor over to image and go to save image as.
You're not opening this off a network share, are you? It's a local share.
Yes.
It's a local folder, and you're not sharing that folder with anybody.
And it's different folders. Basically, when I right-click on the image and go save image as, it puts up the name and the, you know, then I select the folder. When I click save, then another pop-up. Open file security warning, and do you want to open it? Stop asking that question. I can always cancel out of it, but it's just another button I have to push every time I save an image.
Now you can turn off the open file security warning, but then bad guys get in too.
Right.
I'm not entirely sure. Listen, do me a favor.
Sure.
Open one of the files you're having problems with.
Okay, but I'm not...
Not right now. It doesn't... Certainly not right now. But open one of the files you're having a problem with, and then look to see if, at that point, it's opened the dialog, but the dialog is behind the file you open, and so you don't see it when you go to close. Until you go to close. And then it pops it up and says, you never said you could open this file. You haven't set permissions on this file, is what it's saying.
Is there some way I can email you guys a screenshot?
Yes. Just send it to nick@asknick.com or put it in the forum.
Okay.
Either way is fine, but putting it in the forum puts a lot more eyes on it than just mine, so that probably would be a better deal.
Okay.
All right?
Yep. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. One of us is very confused, and I'm sure it's me.
I'm wondering if he has his desktop set to an internet zone or whatever
that documents
folder
is. That's a very good question. Are you still there? No.
That's in the local policy group editor. So it's right. it's all in the link I just posted about disabling the open file security warning. There's different places you can do different things, and you can set it for different zones. So if you're opening something from the internet, you definitely want the security warning to show up.
Right.
But if you're opening something from your local computer, you probably don't want it.
Right. And that's why I say it's two different things. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dick from Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Dick. What's up?
I have hundreds of CD discs, DVD, CD, minus RW, plus RW, and all of these letters, and I don't know one from the other. Indeed, I tried recording music on one the other day, and it will not play in my car.
Yep.
I don't know which ones I should dump. I don't want to fill a landfill up with all of them. I'd like to be able to record music and take it on a long road trip I'll be taking later in the month. Is there a reference book or a website that explains the differences to me and which ones I can and cannot record on properly so that these will record or playback in my other equipment? What's the difference in all of them?
Wikipedia is probably the best place to go for the differences. But if you're doing generic audio CDs, you want to use CD-R. You can record audio on any one of those discs, but the playback player has to know how to use that disc. And the annoyance is, so CD minus R, the R means you can record. RW.
Say that once more.
CD minus R means you can record on the disc.
Minus R. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's music.
That's anything.
Data
or recording.
Right. Just recording. Right. The RW means it's rewritable. You can erase it and write to it again. And those are a little more expensive.
And chances are your car is not going to play DVDs.
Right. So you have to use
a
CD minus R. And the plus and minus between those letters are important. They're two different competing standards, like VHS and Beta.
Okay.
And so you will find that if you try to get a plus disc, it may not play because your player is only minus. Most computers have what Apple calls a super drive. It does plus and minus. It does R and RW. It does CD and DVD. So the computer does everything. Multi-drive, some brands call it. But audio CD players are generally CD minus R only.
So in my car, we'll play only minus R?
Maybe.
Minus R.
Right.
That probably won't play DVD minus R.
Yeah, it probably won't play DVDs ever, any sort of DVD ever.
Oh, I'm aware of the
even
DVD,
though there's DVD
as
audio.
A movie type thing.
No, DVD is data and audio and video. It's any type of media, again.
Uh-huh.
But the player is the problem. So you may need to look at the car's manual and see if it tells you what formats it can play. But that's why CD minus R is the most compatible format for audio CDs.
Right. And the two things you have to do, one is to make sure, take a look at the manual for your CD player in your car.
Uh-huh.
It's probably, if it was built in with the car, it's part of the owner's manual.
Uh-huh.
And that should tell you what formats it will read. Some of them, it actually lists it right on the front of the CD.
Okay.
Right on the front of the panel there.
Player, yeah.
Yeah, but if not, it will be in the manual somewhere.
Wow.
The second thing I've now forgotten. Oh, yes. When you record something, one of the things you have to do is close that recording.
Or finalize, maybe the word.
Or finalize, maybe the word. Otherwise, you leave it open, which is designed to add more music to it later, but that's not playable. It has to be closed or finalized before you can play it somewhere.
Will that word be apparent when I'm on my computer
again,
monitor screen?
Now you need to look at whatever device you're using, whatever program you're using to record, and read the directions for that. And we got to take a break. Back
Thank
in just
you.
A couple of
Thank
minutes with Sound Bites on Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enrich.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. We have a lot of news we didn't get to, but probably this one will affect the most people. Approximately 4.93 million Gmail usernames and passwords were published to a Russian Bitcoin forum on Tuesday.
Just call it 5 million. Make it nice and round.
Let's call it 5 million.
The good news is this light leak doesn't seem as massive as it first appeared. Google doesn't believe this was the result of any sort of security breach on its end. I'm a little confused as to how they decided that. The security of our users' information is a top priority for us, said a Google spokes individual. We have no evidence that our systems have been compromised. That's when you worry, by the way. But whenever we become aware that accounts may have been, we take steps to help those users secure their accounts. Next, since the posting, the forum advisors have purged the passwords from the text file in question, leaving only the logins. The forum user who originally published the file, who calls him or herself TV Skit, claimed that some 60% of the passwords were valid. A quick analysis of the text file shows it contains mainly English, Spanish, and Russian accounts, but also that it seems to combine older lists accumulated over a long period of time. There could thus be a link to hacks of sites unrelated to Gmail or any of Google's services, especially if users are choosing the same username and passwords for other accounts as well as phishing attacks. As a result, this leak is likely affects significantly fewer than 5 million users. Many have likely changed their passwords, and certain entries could be for suspended accounts, duplicates, or simply outdated. Changing your password, regardless of whether you're on the list or not, certainly can't hurt. Google has taken steps to help people secure their accounts and given them the usual recommendations to protect their devices from malware. The company also recommended enabling two-step verification. So, did your username get hacked? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Pretty interesting thing. I actually got a portion of the file which had slightly over 4 million names in it. I wasn't in it, so that was good.
So if this wasn't a database breach,
right?
Where do you get 5 million Google account names?
Well, what they're saying is it's more likely because it's a mix of English, Spanish, and Russian, and that's all that's in the file.
Mm-hmm.
First, Google doesn't have any file like that. So what they're saying is it was more likely to be some sort of phishing hack that people got caught by, and that's the accumulated list of names and passwords.
Wow.
From that file.
So it could be a lot of nothing.
Thing. Yeah. I mean, it's all Gmail accounts, but you know how this works. Somebody gets a virus on your machine in some way, whatever way, drive-by downloads, whatever way it was. And now when you go to sign into Google, instead of going to Google, you're sent to a page that looks like Google, and you sign in there, and they've now got your Gmail account and password.
Yeah,
and apparently people from England and America and Spain and Russia were hit by this, and this is more likely to be that file. And it says and they think it's a pretty old file. Because they looked up any number, you know, they know their database, so they looked up any number of those people, and at least a third of them are no longer active accounts.
Yep.
So they think it's not as big a deal as it might have been in the past. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Do you know anything about the isleaked.com website?
No, you mean like is it legit?
Yeah, you put in your email address and it will tell you if your email account is leaked.
That's you've got minimal exposure there because particularly for us, our email account is everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's not really a big deal.
So it does Google, Yahoo, Hotmail, Yandex, whatever that is.
Oh, big in overseas somewhere.
Overseas, yeah. So isleaked.com. And it will see if your name is in that list. I know, who was it, LastPass had a list for the LinkedIn leak. There are so many leaks from so many companies that it's almost ridiculous that you have to keep checking for stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
My Adobe didn't get leaked. So that was good with that Adobe breach. That was 100 million accounts. So yeah, so the bad guys now use this list of hundreds of millions of known usernames and passwords to analyze password trends.
Right.
And so what we're seeing is the adage about, you know, uppercase and lowercase and letters and numbers isn't as effective as it used to be, because most people make the first letter uppercase.
Right.
And they make the last, you know, two digits the current year, or maybe four digits is the current year.
Right.
So it makes guessing passwords easier. And as you were talking about last week, it makes typing them on a smartphone harder. So Steve Gibson is sort of proposing what he's talked about all along with his password haystacks features, that long is better than complex.
Right.
So, you know, you have an 8-character password with uppercase, lowercase, and numbers. Let's skip all that. Let's have a 16-character password with all lowercase, which doesn't right. seem as good, but 16 characters is much better.
Right.
And then it's real easy to type on a smartphone keyboard because you don't have to keep hitting shift. And if you want to put a special symbol on a smartphone, you usually have to hit shift and then special and then shift again sometimes.
Right. The problem is there are a lot of places that have... The problem is places that constrain you.
Yeah.
Oh, you must have a number. You must have an uppercase.
Yep. Or a capital. Yeah, capital.
Yeah. So the problem really is not that... And then there are places that limit you to the number of characters you can have. Yep. I would rather be able to say I require a minimum of 14 characters, and I don't care if they're all uppercase, lowercase, numbers, letters. I don't really care. But a minimum length of 14 or so. The problem is everybody on Earth would complain, I can't remember a 14-character password because yep. I'm stupid.
Steve
Gibson.
No,
you're not.
Steve Gibson on GRC did an episode, I'm trying to find it here, on internet electronic retailers' password policies, and he picked it up from a security company that had done it, and Apple and Amazon were among the best, and some of the requirements were that you have to tell people what your requirement is, either before or as they're typing in the password. Because it's so annoying. You type mm-hmm. in your password, you hit enter, and you can't use that because there's no number. Well, why didn't you tell me I needed a number? Right. Password strength meters as you're typing your password are good. But they also found the minimum and maximum password that some websites allow. A national florist, online florist company, has a 3-character password minimum. So they're trying to think the code. All right, we have to make sure it's not empty. So is it greater than 0? But somebody took the time to put the code in that, so if it's greater than 3, okay, let them have a 4-character password. I suppose, because we have 4-digit pins on our credit cards.
I suppose.
But no.
Well, right. It's just like folks also get upset, you know, besides having long password names, it's if at certain places they're required to change it every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you'd think the world had ended.
Yeah.
Oh, geez, you mean I got to change it again? I just learned that one. Well, grow up.
Try
you know, they're trying to save, you know, your yeah. protection and protect you. If, you know, you get compromised, you're going to be complaining up and down in a blue streak.
Well, the problem there is, what is the threat model that your password was guessed yesterday and not 6 months ago?
Right.
You technically should change your password every day.
Right.
But that's
try
worse.
Working for a bank where they make you change your password every 28 days.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, you don't like that policy? 6 people waiting for your job. Thank
yep.
you. There's the door.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You know, I mean, it's your information that they're trying to protect. And it's their, you know, their system. You don't like it, take your business elsewhere.
Yep.
That's the way it's going to be. But, you know, they're going to do it so they can protect you and not, you know, be compromised. Because a lot of the places are looking to be hacked all the time.
Yep.
And they'll do whatever measures it takes.
FireEye has a threat assessment page that shows real-time attacks. It's pretty cool, actually. You don't see, obviously, every attack because it would just be a solid red block all day long. but it maps it out to a map of the world, and it shows, you know, somebody from the United States and there's like it looks like an airplane route, you know, is hitting Korea, and somebody from China is hitting the United States, and somebody from here is hitting there. And you see these attacks happen all over the place. It's actually pretty cool. I'm impressed by it, and it's kind of mesmerizing, I must admit. I spent about 10 minutes watching it yesterday.
It's pretty nifty, and that's a company called FireEye. Steve, I think, is looking it up right now.
Yeah.
All right, we are done for another week. I want to thank everyone who called in. Thank you for calling in. We had fun today. Nice discussions today, actually. But don't go away, because the best German music you'll hear all week is coming right up with George. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow, so we'll see you here next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We're Soundbites on the truly great and the truly and solely members. Yeah, don't forget, we don't come to you that often, but every week I try to remind you that we are member-supported and that it is important that you are a member. We are solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week. Thanks for listening.